You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The race is on to save one of the world's rarest butterflies. You will only find the Mitchell Satyr in Michigan and Indiana. So let's learn what's being done to save this butterfly from extinction as we say hello to Daria Hyde, who's a conservation scientist with the Michigan Natural Features Inventory at Michigan State University. Daria, good to have you with us. Describe this butterfly for us.
Oh, sure, Cynthia. At first glance, it might just look like a little brown butterfly bobbing around on top of the vegetation, but when you get a closer look, it's really quite lovely. It has a warm brownish hue, and when you look up more closely, there's about 4 or 5 eye spots on the bottom wing and a few eye spots on the underside of the top wing that are black, but they have a little iridescent silvery markings in the middle of the eye spot, and they're encircled in a golden color. And then all of those eye spots are encircled by some orange bands that are quite brilliant. So when you get a real close-up view, they're actually quite stunning.
And only found in Michigan and Indiana?
That's correct. There are certain species that are closely related. There's the St. Francis Satyr that's found in North Carolina. And then there are some similar species found in Mississippi and Alabama. But currently, genetic analysis, they're still trying to figure it out, but they don't believe that those are the exact same subspecies of butterfly. So we're still working that out with the geneticist.
Okay. And was the Mitchell Satyr once upon a time living in a wider area? Did it have a wider habitat?
It did have a wider habitat, but it was never as common as, let's say, the monarch butterfly. It was once known from about 30 sites in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and New Jersey. But as recently as 1991, it was only found at 15 sites. And currently, we only know it from 10 sites in Michigan and 1 in Indiana. Ooh. But of those 10 sites in Michigan, only 6 of them are considered to be viable. The rest seem to be sputtering out. So it's been pretty discouraging.
As you're describing this, you don't even need to be good at math or graphing to just see, you know, this downtick as far as where you can find
yes.
it. So if you were to say, how endangered is this butterfly?
It's one of the most endangered butterflies in the world. The other species in Michigan that many listeners may have heard of is the Powashiek skipperling. This is even more rare than the Mitchell Satyr, only known from 4 sites in Michigan and a couple of sites in Canada. But the Mitchell Satyr globally is one of our most rarest butterflies.
And what happened to put it on this endangered list?
Well, its habitat is a very unique type of habitat called a prairie fen. And prairie fens are a globally rare community. They're found in southern Michigan, set in a landscape of these depressions at the base of these glacial landforms where you've got cold groundwater kind of coming up under the pressure of these, you know, at the bottom of these hills, and this groundwater is bubbling up into these wetlands, and it creates conditions that are really appropriate for many unique plants and animals that depend on this calcium-rich groundwater. So these types of communities have never been that common, but what has happened is with human development and urban encroachment, these habitats have become more and more fragmented, they've been modified, and they've been downright lost. You know, whether it be the filling of wetlands or putting a road through one of these prairie fens or the depletion of this really important groundwater, it's just been one thing on top of another, and these habitats have become quite vulnerable.
And I went digging around, and I read on a state website that there's also a problem for these wetlands with this invasion by exotic plants that make that wetland unsuitable for poor little Mitchell Satyr, so they can't make it.
Exactly. And these invasive plants also harm the habitat for really beautiful orchids that occur in these wetlands. Hmm. There's also some very interesting carnivorous plants like sundews and pitcher plants and a whole host of other really interesting plants and lots of other butterflies and tree crickets, birds, frogs, turtles, you name it. It's a very biologically rich community. I think one of the reasons that we're having a lot of invasive plants moving into these wetlands is it's actually twofold. One is as the groundwater becomes depleted, whether it be through pumping for irrigation or roads or ditches, as that groundwater gets depleted, the wetlands start to dry up. And then these invasive plants then have conditions that are more suitable and they can take over. And also these wetlands used to have fires that would move through them occasionally. Native Americans used to set fires to manage the land. But now, with so many, you know, human communities around these wetlands, fire has been more difficult to maintain, although some land conservancies are using prescribed fire to try and help manage these systems and prevent the invasive species from taking over.
You know, Daria, as you describe this, I'm envisioning this big Jenga game with all of these pieces fitting in,
yes.
And then you pull one out and things start to crumble.
That's exactly right. That's a really good characterization, Cynthia.
Am I also right that Mitchell's Satyr adult butterflies, typically we should be seeing them soon, right? Flying between the third week of June to the third week of July?
That's exactly right. Yes. It used to be 4th of July was the peak of the flight, but with climate change, we're finding that it's flying a little bit earlier each year, although probably not this year. It's been a fairly cool spring.
Okay.
But the adults only fly for 3 to 4 weeks at most. They spend most of their life as a caterpillar.
Huh.
And the caterpillar is green, and it blends right in on the food plant that it eats, which is a narrow leaf sedge. So it's very hard to find these caterpillars in a prairie fen. But the butterflies, if anyone wanted to see these butterflies, the Surrette Nature Center right near Benton Harbor has a boardwalk that goes through a prairie fen, and the naturalist on staff there would be happy to show people this butterfly. You can walk on the boardwalk and you can see the butterflies just bobbing along on the tops of the sedges.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And what needs to happen to save the Mitchell's Satyr? Can it be saved and can it get out of the endangered category?
I think it's possible. I do have some hope. There's some very dedicated individuals working at federal agencies like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, state agencies like the DNR and Eagle, the Nature Conservancy, many land conservancies. There's many people working together on a Mitchell Satyr working group. We've been working since 1998, actually, to develop conservation strategies to help save this butterfly. So folks are doing things such as habitat restoration, trying to protect the groundwater. And we do have people at the Toledo Zoo and Kalamazoo Nature Center that are actually rearing these butterflies in captivity. And so we've developed plans to actually rear the butterfly and then release them at sites that are more protected and that don't have as many threats. And so we're hopeful that if we can rear enough butterflies in the zoos and at the nature center, we can start establishing more populations and reverse this decline. So there are folks who are doing research and management and then doing the captive rearing, as well as trying to do outreach to policymakers and the public to try and see if we can stem the decline.
And what do we lose if the Mitchell's Satyr butterfly vanishes?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think that the Mitchell Satyr is sort of like the ecological canary in the coal mine. It is sort of the poster child for water quality. Because these wetlands are so dependent on clean, cold groundwater, when we start losing animals and plants from these systems, I think it's a real warning sign that then could eventually affect human beings. We depend so much on fresh, clean water, and some of the tragedies we've had in Michigan most recently around drinking water, I think, really bring this to the forefront. Loss of biodiversity weakens the web of life. You know, we're all interconnected. And the more you start breaking some of those strands of the web, then the system becomes more simplified, and simplified systems are less resilient. It can affect our lives. It can affect our cultural values, our recreational values. It can affect our food systems as we lose pollinators. That can affect the food that we eat. And then it just overall, you know, I would like my grandchildren to be able to see this beautiful butterfly. And it makes me sad to think that may not be a given. So I'm working very hard alongside of many other dedicated professionals and private citizens to make sure that doesn't happen.
Working to save the Mitchell's Satyr butterfly from extinction. Daria Hyde with Michigan State University with the Michigan Natural Features Inventory. Thank you for sharing your work and your passion with us.
Thank you very much.